If you have your Bibles, we are in the book of John this morning, the book of John, John chapter 3 and verse 30. You can go to our Facebook page and it will have the title of the sermon. And if you want the scriptures, you just click on the link on the Pulse Facebook page and it will be able to give you all the scriptures to follow along with us this morning. The title of the message, How Much of You Determines How Much of Him. How much of you determines how much of Him. John 3 and 30 says this, very simple, simplistic verse, very short verse. It says, He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. In verse 31, it says this, And he cometh from above, is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Let's dissect a little bit of that, that particular verse. And some of that I just got when I read. When I added that to the sermon the other day, I thought, that one doesn't make much sense to me. But as I go through it, he said, He that cometh from above is above all. See, Jesus, and you have to get this in your spirit this morning, that Jesus is bigger than your circumstances. Jesus is bigger than your financial burden. Jesus is bigger than your marriage, bigger than your finances, bigger than your health. Jesus is bigger. The Bible tells us, and I heard this the other day, that Jesus is so big that the universe can't even hold him. I mean, he's so powerful. And see, here's the key. The fact is that the Holy Spirit, Jesus, we are heirs of the kingdom of God. Jesus, when he comes in and lives inside of us, then he lives inside of us and we become him. You say, well, how in the world can we become? It's a supernatural transformation that takes place that when you accept him into your life, into your spirit, his spirit intertwines with your spirit. And that's what the word Christian means. It means to be Christ-like. He that is of the earth is earthly. Understand something, that this is not our home. We are just passing through. Don't get comfortable. Time is short. And speaketh of the earth. See, we speak carnal if we're not thinking about the heavenly things, about what God wants for us. Now, when you go in and you look at John 3:30, he must increase, we must decrease. Define decrease. Well, I'm glad you asked. Here it is. To make or to become smaller or fewer in size, amount, intensity, or degree. See, we must decrease in who we are in ourselves. We cannot get the big head in anything that we have. Because let me tell you something. This is what people don't realize this. Is that if the bank is with you on a loan, then it's not totally yours. People say, well, I own a car. Well, if it's financed, no, you don't. Well, I own a house. Well, if it's financed, you don't own it. The bank owns it with you. Well, here, let me give you something else. Do you realize that everything that we get from God comes from him? It's from him. But yet, you know, people get so arrogant with the cars that they drive and the houses that they have and the stuff that they that they have. And here's the key. We own nothing. We come in this world with nothing and we leave this world with nothing. There is never, in 30 years of ministry, I have never preached a funeral where there was a U-Haul attached to the hearse. I did hear of a story one time where a man played the lottery and he died. And he was with his son when he bought the lottery ticket and he had it in a sport coat. And it happened to be the same sport coat that they buried him in. And the ticket, the winning ticket, was 4.5 feet in the ground with his daddy in his coat pocket. Guess what his son did? Yeah, absolutely. We don't own anything. We must decrease so that he can increase within our lives. And I'm going to help you to understand some things about this. For God is using us in a big way, so we must be small. When God uses you in a big way, you need to climb under the pew so that he can get the glory. When I'm preaching from the pulpit and people say, oh, it was a nice sermon that you preached, I need to hide behind the cross so that people don't see my identity, but that they see the identity and the DNA of God. It's so important. And can I tell you that there have been times that God has used me in a miraculous way and I thought that he couldn't do without me. Guess what? He will teach you real quick that he doesn't need you. It is a privilege to be used of God. I ran yesterday morning and in our neighborhood, and I saw one of my neighbors. He's an elderly fella, and he was out watering his plants. But the man is unsaved, and he's in his 80s. Actually, Christy and I have prayed for him while we were taking a walk one time. He was having some kidney trouble, and we stopped and we prayed for him, and God miraculously intervened in his life. But let me tell you something. You don't have purpose if you don't have Jesus. You do not have purpose if you do not have Jesus. And look, I don't want to paint a terrible picture of you, but let me tell you something. I don't want to be so excited for trash day. You say, well, what are you talking about? I have nothing to do all week, but trash day's coming. I get to take the garbage out. I'm excited for purpose, for what God wants to do and what God wants to use you and me for. You were not created on this earth for yourself, but you were created on this earth for purpose, to do his will. That's the only thing that you were created for, is to do the will of God. And I encourage you today to find out what God's will is and step in it. It's important that you know what it is. The more that you become like Christ, we lose our personal identity because we become hidden behind the cross. Have you ever heard people say, and I don't understand this saying, but people say he's a good Christian man. I know what it means, and I know what people are saying, but let me tell you something. If you are a Christian, you're a Christian, and you have purpose, and God lives inside of you. But see, what happens is we cannot allow the carnal nature of man to control us, and we have to make sure that we kill the carnal nature of man. What do you mean? That it means being led by your five senses. You cannot be led by your five senses in this life, which is sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch. Nor can you be controlled by your emotion. Anger, strife, wrath, hatred, witchcraft. See, we cannot allow our lives to run through that. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 27, it says this. It says, but I keep under my body and bring it to subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself be a castaway. What he is saying there is that we have to keep our body into subjection. When our body wants to do wrong, a man told me that one time. He says, I love God. He said, but there are times in my life that I want to do wrong. Well, there's a lot of times in my life that I want to do wrong. And there are times in my life that I do wrong. There are some times in my life that it's really a hard day. Can anybody else testify but me? There are days that it is a hard day. It is a hard day through temptation to say something that you shouldn't say or to do something that you shouldn't do. But let me tell you something. The Bible tells me that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, which means to tell me that I have victory over my flesh. You say, well, preacher, I've never heard that before. You mean I don't have to sin every day? No, you don't have to sin every day. It's contrary to the Word of God, because Christians are to be Christ-like. And let's take a poll. Did Jesus ever sin? Jesus never sinned. And a lot of us were raised that way. I was raised that way, that I had to do that every day. That I had to put it on my list, and I had to say, man, it's 11:59 and I haven't sinned yet today, so let me go do something so that I can check it off my list. But see, it's contrary to the Word of God, because the Bible says this. It says, if you sin, not when you sin, but if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. Are you saying, preacher, that I need to try to get the sin out of my life? Oh, yeah. You want God to use you? You get on your knees, you get on your face, you decrease. And for you to increase, you have to decrease. And for you to get high, you have to go low. Time on your knees, praying, seeking God, being what God's called you to be. You say, well, preacher, I've never heard anything like that. You mean to tell me that I can't have my way and to be a Christian? Why would you? Why would you want your way? Your way is destruction. Your way is terrible. Your way is not God's way. That's what the Bible says. When you look at the word subjection, bring your body under subjection. The action of subjection is a person to one control, or the fact of being subjected. It is important that we are not controlled by our flesh, because our flesh is contrary to the will of God. Our flesh will sin every chance you allow it to. It will do wrong every chance that you allow it to. But let me tell you something. Your spirit has victory over your flesh. And that's the hard part. When you look at the time that Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, tempted three different times from Satan. And the Bible says that Satan took him. It's amazing to me that Jesus even let him take him somewhere. But he took him three different times to three different scenarios. Let me tell you something. Satan will take you down a road where you can't find the way home if you're not careful. You say, well, preacher, I'm just really enjoying life and living in sin and living the way I'm supposed to be. I'm going to sin. I'm going to mess up. Well, we can, and we have. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is a statement that we all can say that we've done. We've all fallen short. But when we are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and when we belong to Him, then there is a supernatural transformation that changes in your life. God can control your emotions, but He wants you to. He wants you to control your emotions. Well, that person just makes me mad. I've heard that so many times. You know, I'm bearing my soul with you right here. I do not have problems waiting on people. I do not like to be late. I don't like to start something late. I like to be on time, if I can be on time. But if there is a traffic jam, I can find something to do. But there are people that are in this world that are so impatient. One of the things and the pet peeves that I absolutely cannot tolerate is to be tailgated on the road. Sam. My dad always said, if you were in a hurry, you should have started sooner. I want to get this sign that lights up real bright, just like in the Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase, when he plugs that light and all these lights, I like to get this huge light in the back of my truck or back of my car that says, get off my tail in Jesus' name. I just absolutely, pet peeve. Had a Bible study with Jesus on Monday. Turned out in the road. First thing Monday morning, man, I tell you what, somebody right on my tail is going to the bank. Somebody right on my tail. I mean, real close. It's not like they can't see that it's 40 mile an hour. You just want to lay hands on people like that without prayer. I'm telling you, you just want to stop the car and just let them have it. Come on now, straighten your halo. You know it's true. You know that it will rise up in you because it's an emotion when people want, and see, Satan wants to use that to destroy your day. You think you've had a bad hair day. You think it's all over. I have a bad hair day every day. Learn to control your emotions. Anger, strife, wrath, hatred. You know, you got to get rid of that stuff. It's got to go. It's got to go out of your life. And in Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21, if you act like Jesus, then you are going to bear fruit like Jesus. In Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 25, it says this, and it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, which means that we have to decrease. If we are living in the Spirit, then we're not living in the flesh, and we are decreasing. If we live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit. The second part of this message is that he must increase. We've learned through the first part of the sermon that we have to decrease. That means that we cannot have our way. We cannot have our will. We have to do what God says. So let me tell you something that I encourage you to do. I was talking to a brother on the phone yesterday about this. And this is something that I really, really want to drive home to you today is this. Sometimes for us to know God's will, we have to pray what God's will is. Does that make sense? We have to say, okay, God, this is what I want. But I pray your will be done, not my will be done. But sometimes for us to realize what God wants to do, we have to pray through that thing. We have to seek his face and say, okay, God, this is what I'm believing. You know, with what Carlos has said, he says, I'm believing God for, you know, my heart to function over 50%, for me not to have COPD, this kind of stuff. So what happens is we agree with him for his healing. It's the same way in our lives and in our concept that he must increase in our lives. Become or make greater in size, amount, intensity, or degree is what the word intensify means, to increase. The words that stand out to me is intensity, strength, and power. When we decrease, when we in our lives say, okay, I am no longer going to allow myself to reign in me, but I'm going to allow God to come into me and allow him to live and do a supernatural transformation in my life, then that means that you are going to allow him to increase and yourself to decrease, which is what I'm saying to you, is not living on your five senses or your emotion. I'm going to allow him to have his way. As you allow him to increase, then what happens is there is power in your life. What do you mean? I'm talking about power to overcome the enemy. When you allow him, let me tell you something. Let me ask you this something. How much prayer went into this church service today? How many people spent 15, 20 minutes praying for this service? You don't have to raise your hand. How many people spent time in Bible study and prayer this week seeking his face? It's not about time. It's not about time. It's about obedience. It's about obedience. How much time have we spent with Jesus this week? Well, I guarantee you something. That if you are married and you haven't spent any time with your spouse this week, or if you're in a relationship and you haven't spent time with them, let me ask you something. Do you think that we spend time with what we love? We do, don't we? We spend time with what we love. You know, I love flying airplanes, but I can't always do it. Other stuff comes up. Things happen. I love being here. I got excited when we were driving. Christy's driving into town today. I wanted to roll down the window and, good morning, good morning. How you doing? How you doing? People look at me like I'm nuts, but that's okay. But we have to spend time with our Father. We have to spend time listening to YouTube or to different preachers that you like. Or, you know, while I was running yesterday, I was listening to Jensen Franklin preach a message about God as a happy God. While I'm running, I'm listening to preaching. I'm getting it in my spirit. You say, man, I just can't do that. There's only, I'm giving God an hour and a half on Sunday morning, and that's all I can do. Well, then guess what? You're going to be weak through temptation. You're going to lose your cool more often. You're going to allow your emotions to have your way. And you are going to be the forefront of your life. You are. You're going to be the forefront of your life. Let me tell you something. God knows my heart. I just want to do His will. I just want to obey God and to do His will, whatever that particular thing is. But and we have to sometimes seek His face to understand. But what we have to do is for us to decrease, for Him to increase, then we need to surrender. You say, surrender in defeat? Absolutely. We have to surrender in defeat, saying, God, we want You to have true reign in our lives. There may be some of you here today that walked with Jesus at one point of your life, but you've stepped away from Him, and you need to rekindle that love relationship with Jesus and begin to spend time with Him and have fellowship with Him like you once did. And let me tell you something. I'm sure your life is miserable. If you once walk with Jesus and you turn Him away from Him, see, understand something, that God never moves. We do. We're the ones who move, not God. We're the ones that move. God's love is constantly consistent with us. He loves us no matter what. But if we decrease and He increases, with His strength and His power, then we are yielding, we are consenting, and we are submitting ourselves to Jesus. I do a good amount of weddings in my past. I haven't done very many recently. But you sit down with the soon-to-be bride and the husband, soon-to-be, and you begin to work out what the service of their marriage is going to look like. And I had a lady look at me one time and she said, don't you put nothing in there, preacher, about me submitting to that man. And I thought, oh gosh. Now I'm not getting into that today. That's a whole different sermon. But church, we have to submit to something or somebody. And why not submit to Jesus? Why not submit to Him? Now, you may not have a godly man, or you may not have a godly woman in a relationship that you are with, but let me tell you something. Submit yourself to God. The Bible tells us to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and He'll flee from us. But a lot of people get that mixed up, and they say, well, you just resist the devil, and He'll flee. No, no, no. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and He will flee. So let me tell you something, church. You and I have the power of the Holy Ghost inside of us if we're saved, if we're blood-bought, so that we can defeat the enemy. But if we do not defeat the enemy, then he will kick your butt every time. He will. And you know he will. And you know he has. Because there's been times that he's kicked my tail. But let me tell you something. I get him back. Let me tell you something. If he robs something from you, you tell him you want it back 100-fold. We have to yield. We have to consent. We have to submit. Here, let me give you something. In Galatians chapter 2:20, it says this: I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Key word there. Let me ask you something. If he lives inside of you, then what does that make you? A follower of Christ. My nephew is going to a school in the South, and it is a more liberal school than probably what his family would want him to go to. But as they were introducing themselves, introduced himself and his name, and he said, I am a follower of Christ. And I don't think his family has anything to worry about, because he's a follower of Christ. Because he lives inside. See, there's going to be a change in you if he lives inside, but if you do not let him in, you say, well, preacher, I'm going to fix a few things in my life, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to, I'll come to Jesus, but I've got to get this stuff out of my life first before. No, you don't. Who told you you had to give up anything? You don't have to give up anything to come to Christ. You say, I don't? No. You stick around with him long enough, I guarantee you, you won't want to do the things that you do. You'll give it up. But you don't have to come to him and say, well, I got to clean my life up first. That is the dumbest lie that I've ever heard from Satan, is that one, is that you've got to clean yourself up and then you can come to Christ. No, he takes you just as you are. He took me just as I am, just without one plea. But I have to crucify myself with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But not as I, but Christ that lives inside of me. And the life in which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, I said this last week, and it about made me take a running fit. To the fact is that Jesus loves the church. He absolutely loves the church. The Bible tells us that he did not come to judge the world, but to save it. He told the woman at the well, and not only the woman at the well, but the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, he did not say, you are the scum of the earth, get out of my face. She'd been caught in the very act of adultery. Some of the scholars believe that she was naked in front of God, in front of Jesus. And yet, what all the other Pharisees and Sadducees wanted to do is they had a stone and they were ready to stone her. And Jesus said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And they heard a bunch of boom, 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 boom. By the time it was over, when anybody left. And see, they hadn't stoned anybody in a long time, so they were pretty excited about it. Here's the thing. I don't know where you are spiritually. You may be just as lost as a kitten from its mother. But I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to judge you where you're at. I'm not here to do that. My job as a pastor is to lead you to Jesus. It's to tell you that there's a better day ahead. To tell you that God can help you. God can restore you. God can lead you and make you something. And use you for your kingdom, for his kingdom. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In 2 Corinthians 10:7, it says this: do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's. for you to go up in ministry, in your life, for you to keep pressing towards the mark of the high calling of God, you must decrease. I don't wake up on my running days excited to run. My body does not want to eat well. My body will eat junk food every chance I let it. It will. My wife helps me in so many ways for me to eat right. Why? Because I want to be healthy for you all and I want to finish strong. But, you know, she will, I mean, it's like last night we had stir fry with chicken in it. It was good. But then on the other hand, she goes to the store, and we have this candy dish. Those that come to our small group on Wednesday night, you know, let me just tell you, Les, it's been replenished. Hallelujah. Yeah, look at this. Look at it. It's been replenished. But God is in a Snicker bar. I'm telling you, God is in a Snicker bar. But she bought them little tiny ones. It's like that. And it says fun size. It's not fun unless you can have a whole handful of them. That's it. John Sandy likes to eat the dark chocolate. He said it's better for you. I've learned to like it, but it's not my favorite. But my body will absolutely love that quarter pounder with cheese at McDonald's that they make fresh and French fries and a Diet Coke. Isn't that the dumbest thing? Yeah, supersize that thing. Give me a Diet Coke. My body wants to sin. My flesh wants to cut you off on the highway when you do me wrong. My flesh will say, I'll get you for that. We clean the house at our house on Friday or sometimes Saturday. I need to do some kind of an event up here on Friday and Saturday every week and just to make sure and have somebody check on Christy to make sure she's done with the house cleaning, because my job is to sweep. And I don't like doing it. My flesh doesn't like doing it. But I do it. My job is to mop the floor, and I do it. Christy, I timed this the other day because she went out to cut the grass. She won't let me cut the grass because she says I don't keep the line straight. So she cuts the grass, which is fine. Did you ever think I was doing that on purpose? No, I never was. But it takes her as long as it does to cut the grass for me to sweep the floor. And it's a workout, and I'm sweating by the time I'm done. I don't want to do it. My flesh doesn't want to do it. But my flesh sure wants to eat wrong. I don't wake up every morning on my run days and say, man, I can't wait to run. I can't wait to get done. My body wanted to sleep in this morning. You see what I'm saying? There's a war. There's a war that's inside of you between good and evil. You remember Fred Flintstone? Remember the little angel on one side and the demon on the other? That's what you got all day. But if you can get in with Jesus and learn his voice, because my sheep, he says, my sheep know my voice. When he speaks, you know his voice. You know that absolutely that God don't want you to lust after that thing going down the highway. Or God don't want you to say anything that you're not supposed to do. God don't want you to do that. Well, I'm human. If there's a transformation that takes place in you spiritually, then you have victory over your flesh. Hope that helps you today. I hope that helps you today. If you're going to rise up in ministry, you must first go down. Empty yourself of you and allow God to fill you. So the title of the sermon, How Much of You Determines How Much of Him. Stand to your feet. Examine yourself right now, could you? Could you say, well, I need to get empty myself of a few things. You know, the thing about it is you have to understand something. This bottle is about half full. Why is it half full? Because I'm a positive person. Some of you would say it's half empty, but it's half full. And if I drink of it, it's eventually going to get empty. Imagine this being you. Imagine this being your spirit. You say, well, I don't feel God. I pray and I pray and I pray and I don't feel God. Where are you with Him? Jesus came today, if Jesus came today, which he may, I hope he does, then I won't have to make my car payment on Monday. Think about that. If Jesus came today, would you go to heaven or hell? Would you go to heaven or hell? If you would go to hell, there's no part of hell, no part of real estate for hell that you are supposed to occupy. That's not for you. Well, God can never save me. Who told you that? You told yourself that. God can never save me. Save you from what? I'm talking about being born again. Born again. Not entering your mother's womb for the second time, as he talked to Nicodemus about, but to be born again, to allow God to come into your life. How do you be born again? You believe, the Bible says. You believe. So where are you with Him today? Are you where you need to be? And you may have been saved for 20 years, but you've got so much of self inside of you, and you that it's going to be your way or the highway, and you've got to get rid of some of that stuff, and you're going to tell God what to do. And when you get to heaven, you're going to say, you're sitting in my throne. You got to get rid of that. You got to allow Him to be obedient in your life and to get things and to change you. We need to be changed. Can we not say God changes? God changes today. I say this about every week. This is an altar. You can come to the altar and you can bow down. It's a place where things die. You can surrender things to Him here. This church is an old church, and I'm sure there's tears from mothers and fathers that have prayed for their lost loved ones. There's people that have given up things and laid it on the altar. You have something in your life today that you need to lay on the altar. Would you come? You want to accept Jesus? You can do that in your seat. Or you can come and pray. Where are you? Where are you with the Lord? Well, I'll have to get a new set of friends. I told you this last week. No, you don't. You don't have to get a new set of friends. You get your friends saved and you still got them. You still got your friends. Where are you today with him? Would you come, just talk to him? Altar's open. Where are you with him? So I need to accept him.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough.
God, do something.
Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Just the sum of every high and every low. Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
Ooh, I've spent some time with you. What's he think of you? He loves you.
In you I find my worth, in you I find my identity.
Thank you, God. I pray you have a blessed week. I pray that God does something big in your life. Do something big for him this week. Do something big for him this week. We serve a great God. He's a great God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey. Use that so people can.
I talked to the grandkids this week, and Thomas said, "Mama, can I come and stay with you for a week?" So our hearing is coming up in August. And Thomas's grandmother said, "Have you talked to the social worker? She said that you wanted the kids for a week." I said, "I haven't talked to anybody." So praise God, I get these kids Wednesday for a week.
Do you really? Praise God.
For a whole week.
Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Next Sunday, I will be the proudest grandmother in this church because I will have six of those grandkids with me.
Isn't that so cool?
Next Sunday.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
I always,
favor.
I always pray with JD when we go to see, but I've never prayed with Josh. And I came home the other day and I had that little voice. Why did you not pray? So yesterday, when I went back to see him, I said, "Josh, let's pray." He said, "Mom, I really needed that today."
Wow, praise God.
So.
Speaking to you.
Yeah, and I spend anywhere from 3 days to 5 days a week at that jail. And that is my life right now, is that jail.
God's faithful. Isn't that awesome? You get
yes.
the grandkids. That
for
is so
a week.
For a week.
Them for a week.
Praise God. That's a prayer answer, church. That is awesome. Praise
I could
God.
Not leave today.
Oh, I'm so glad you shared that. I'm so glad you shared that, man. And that's so cool. God answering prayer. You know, here's something that I heard in a movie one time. I heard this in a movie one time, and it was a pastor's movie where people were in seminary. And one guy looked at the other. He says, "If you don't think God can change people, why are you here? It's not my job to change you. God wants to change us. My job is just to preach to you and tell you what Jesus can do for you." Amen. Amen. God's faithful. Hallelujah. Anybody else have a testimony to share? It's always important that we share testimonies. Anybody else? Anybody else God want to give God praise over something? Oh, Kathy and Brady bought me this for my birthday, and my birthday was in June, but I'm just now getting to wear it. I left it I got clothes in both places. I have to remember where I got stuff. But I like it. Thank you. Hooli, hooli.